Welcome back, everybody, to the Inside Texas Baseball Show. I'm your host, Evan Veith, as always, joined by Nash Talks Texas. How are you doing today, Nash?
I'm doing all right. I mean, you know, the Texas rosters are getting plucked from, but we'll talk about that here in a second.
Just left and right got Longhorns coming out. It is 12:07 p.m. as we're recording this, which means the second part of the MLB draft rounds, I believe it's 4 through 20, are happening as we speak. The sixth round's already gone past. No one's been taking it from the Longhorns or the Longhorn prep commits for that 4 through 6, but there was a lot that happened last night, Nash, the first day of the draft. My Washington Nationals go under slot, take Eli Willits. That was a surprise. Holiday drops to 4. The Angels pick a pitcher they want to pitch next weekend. A lot happened, but the first thing that happened when it comes to the Longhorns is Gavin Fien going 12th overall, which if you'd asked me between Fien and the other top prospect, Cason Cunningham, who two guys we've known for a while aren't going to be making it to campus because they were going to be first-round picks, which one of them goes first? I would not have expected Fien, but yet the Rangers take that selection at 12. They take a risk on a high school bat playing third base, maybe some shortstop, but very, very likely third base long term. What is Fien going to give the Rangers? Because I know a lot of our fans are both Rangers and Texas baseball fans.
I mean, honestly, you're going to get a dude that's really similar to Cason Cunningham. He just didn't have quite the senior season that Cason did. But when they're playing against top level talent, I mean, like, Fien batted like 417 or something like that versus top town. He was at a minimum a 400 hitter, but playing in the 18 U USSA national circuit, so like playing 14 USA, so playing against the top talent in the world, he's doing really, really good. And then also 6'3", you know, 220, like he's got size, right? And I think that's honestly what it came down to, was with him versus Cunningham, why he went ahead of Cunningham. But it is kind of funny, like, thinking back to, like, if y'all read my articles on the two entering, they read, like, Cason Cunningham went first and Fien goes second. And even though, I mean, it probably should have been expected with all looking at all the mocks, you know, like, that, yeah, Fien is going to go first and Cunningham. But, I mean, either both dudes are absolute studs. But if you're a Texas Rangers fan, you got to be just absolutely thrilled that you got
great pick,
because he is he would be a difference maker in the college circuit, but he's going to be a difference maker in the MLB circuit probably here soon.
Yeah, Fien was the number 10 overall prospect in the nation, the number one third baseman. It had been reported for a long time that the Red Sox loved him at 15, that they saw him as kind of that long-term Rafi Devers replacement. But the Rangers, you know, Josh Jung he's back in the minors, I believe. He's really not an MLB player these days. He's kind of like a quad A guy. Josh Smith can play anywhere, so it's not like he's stuck at third base. So that side of the infield, see, you're getting a little older. They're starting to look young, and that's where the Rangers are looking with Fien. I think it was a great pick. I did see that most rankings had him behind Cunningham, and I thought maybe Cunningham would be the pick if they want to move Seager long-term to third. But still, that left us 6 picks later with the next Texas Longhorn prep commit, Cason Cunningham, a kid from San Antonio, Lady Bird Johnson High School, number 6 overall player in the class in a loaded shortstop prep class. I mean, Holiday, Willits, there were multiple, I think 5 total taken before him that were starting shortstop, maybe turn into third baseman long-term. But Cunningham gets taken to the Arizona Diamondbacks, going to stay decently close to home, play AAA games in El Paso there. What's that fit look like for him long-term, and why do you think he went behind Fien, and why is he a top 20 pick?
I mean, it's just going to come down to size, because, I mean, if you look at the stats, especially his senior year stats, I mean, his senior year, the dude's batting 509. Right, like, yep. That's his batting average is probably like a 90th percentile on base percentage. So, like, this is it's an understatement to say, like, you're getting a talented hitter, but it just comes down to, man, the size. Like, you're under 5'10". Like, the amount of players, yep. I think it's 5'8". The amount of 5'8".
He's 5'10" listed, but I don't think he is.
Yeah, but the amount of players that are that short that end up, you know, panning out at the major league level, it's a really short list, right? It's the opposite of that Top Gun quote, you know, the list is long and distinguished, right? But you go and he has to turn into that Jose Altuve. Yep. Like, there's no other role for him on the baseball field, and it just kind of sucks, because, like, this is I would say out of him and Fien, it probably made more sense for Cason Cunningham to come to, like, a school like Texas, you know, go to a college,
yeah, start it, you short.
Know, have that, you know, he's going to get a, you know, a decent size NIL check here. And I'm not trying to shame the guy at all, but it's just it's a really hard route for shorter baseball players to make it, and he's kind of got a lot of things going up against him. But at the same time, he does have a lot of draft. He has some good draft capital going for him. So yeah. And the fact that he went 18th while being at that size shows that there was probably a lot of debate in the picks before, like, do we take this guy?
Yeah, and this was I will say Fiend slot value, $5.75 million, a little bit lower for Cunningham six picks later, 4.58, but that's pretty dang good money, even if you're a little bit under slot. I mean, it's really gone up in the past few years. The MLB kind of used to be the one where, like, man, why would I take this to go play in the minors for years? But $5 million is $5 million, man, and that's
more really money than I've made in my entire life.
So. Right. It's not even close to what I'm at right now. This draft was interesting.
Honestly, if you combine our two lifetime career earnings,
we're not even halfway.
Multiply
there.
It by five. Multiply it by like 10 or 50. You know,
these 18 year olds are already laughing us.
Yeah, no. So look, he definitely is doing just fine.
This draft was so funny because the 17 picks before Cunningham, you had a lot of pitchers, and the only position players were shortstop. And I'm counting 10 of them, 10 players that are listed as shortstops, most of which all of which came from high school. Crazy. And then an outfielder's taken before him, and then Cunningham. Just an insane run. It seems like prep shortstops are kind of the meta of drafting these days. Move on to one more guy that we know has been drafted yet. Going to check the draft tracker one more time, make sure there's no seventh round picks. But pick 74 was a big one for Texas because in that kind of competitive balance round, that in between the second and third round, MLB draft has a lot of these comp picks, things like that. The Colorado Rockies, 74th overall, take a shot on Max Ballou, star Big 12 player of the year from last year. But unfortunately, in 2025, dealt with a thumb injury that sidelined him for, I think, 7 series, comes back for Oklahoma, hits a 3-run bomb in Norman, has a bit of a quiet postseason. That wasn't what you expected from him. But Max Ballou is going to get an over $1 million slot value here, probably signing for that money around and going to a Rockies team that's pretty loaded with outfield talent long term. He may not stick there forever, but still, between second and third round pick, that's good money. It's a good spot for Ballou. And if he does make it to Colorado, that's a lot of home run power potential right there.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody, many Longhorn fans know that Jared Thomas got drafted there. So it would be really cool if we look up in like 4 or 5 years and you see Jared Thomas playing center field and Max Ballou out there in right yep. field. Like that would be really, really cool to see out there for Rockies. But I mean, I think the Rockies, man, they got to be sitting there thinking, like, they ran away with found money, you know? Like,
yeah,
this is a dude that if you watch it, and if anybody, like, I put a tweet of Dan O'Dowd, father of Jack O'Dowd, Jack O'Dowd's dad. He's a major league executive, a longtime MLB exec, and he was listening to one of these, like, talking head dudes. One of the nerds just go and sit there, and he's talking about Max Ballou and not pronouncing Bellew, and he's like Ballou, right? And then, but he goes on, he basically dresses the guy down. He's like, no, I can't hear this talk, man. And he lets him know about Max Ballou. Like, this is a top fit. You saw Aaron, I think it was D1 Baseball, the head Kendall Rogers. He put out a tweet saying, like, Max Ballou, if he doesn't get hurt, this is like a top 15 level guy. And I agree. Like, this is – he may not have the, you know, premier instinct of an outfielder that you want, but you're not sticking a dude out in right field because he's got an amazing instinct out there as a fielder, right? Like, that's just not what you're doing. You're sticking a guy out – if you got that guy, you're sticking him in center field. What he does have is he has a can of an arm. He can hit really well. He's not, you know, going to be like a David Hamilton fast, you know, type guy, like a Trey Turner, but he's not some, you know, stick in the mud. Like, this guy can move. He's athletic. This is a pick that, like, I kind of agree with what you said. Long term, he probably doesn't stick with the Rockies for the fact that it's like found money, because a lot of people, like, they're just drafting for value. And anytime you get at, like, when a guy like a Max Ballou gets drafted at 74, and then it's like a year later, yeah, he is like top 15 level guy. Now all of a sudden you can get a little bit more from somebody else, you know, and you can put it somewhere else where you need it outside of the outfield. So, it It would be cool if we go and look and see him and Jared Thomas from the same outfield. But for now, I mean, it's looking like a really, really great landing spot for Max Blue.
Yeah, four of the top six Rockies prospects are outfielders, and two of their most valuable players currently in the big leagues are also outfielders. It's going to be a hard path to get there. Jared Thomas may be playing outfield as well for them. So that's where you're kind of standing out with Blue. But, you know, Jace LaViolette was the 27th overall pick, and he slid. He went from kind of being this guy could be the 1-1. He's up there with Holiday or whoever the top college arm is going to be. And he definitely fell this past year because of just a down year at A&M generally as a team. But if Ballou was healthy, are they really that different of players when it comes down to things? Like, is the 27th pick that much farther than the 74th pick? I'm not sure. I think the problem with Ballou is you didn't get to see it against SEC play that much, but he was good against LSU. You know, that's a real SEC team when he was healthy. So it's pretty crazy to me that he fell to 74. I didn't see him as a, you know, three waves of players midway through what would be the third round if you were just going 30 teams to 60 to 90. But 74th pick, Max Ballou was the big one here for Texas. Going to check one more time to see if we've got any other players drafted so far. No, does not seem like it.
I did want to say, too, like, I mean, you can also add on. I believe it was against Liam Doyle. It may have not been Liam Doyle. It was somebody. It was the guy that was just tearing us up after that. But Max Ballou was feet away, inches away from hitting a walk-off versus Tennessee. Walk-off, you know, monster yep. versus Tennessee. So I think that's one of those things where, like, you know, does that show up in the box score? No. But if you're watching Max Blue's tape and you're watching against the top games, you're going to notice that one, right? So I think that, yeah, this is a guy that – and even if you go back to like versus top talent in previous years, I think he's done well as well. So I believe that this is a guy that people are going to love.
I think he's a player that can make it to the majors in the same way that Fenian Cunningham can, and he's on a better track because of his age to do that quicker. It's currently 12:19 p.m. We are on pick 205, early part of the seventh round. These slot values are under 300K now, so you're starting to look in the area where players drafted right now may be wanting to come back to school, but that might not be the case for some of these players we're about to talk about. We're going to talk about some of these incoming freshmen, these top prospects. There's six that I'm going to name, and Nash, you can just pluck from these six, whichever one you want to talk about the most, but these are the highest rated ones and also the ones that have the most projected ability to be drafted. You've got Anthony Pack, an outfielder from California, top five outfielder in the class. Sam Cozart, the number one right-handed pitcher in North Carolina, top 10 in the nation. Robert Xavier Mitchell, he kind of goes by different things. Left-handed pitcher / outfielder, mostly a lefty, number two lefty in the state of Texas. Brett Crosland, who's seen as the number one prospect of this group right now, at least by MLB.com's rankings. Cooper Rummel, another top. He's the top righty in Texas. And then Grayson Bowles, a top 10 righty in California. A lot of pitchers, some of them with two-way versatility, pack in the outfield. Talk about one of these guys and where you see them going and what the future might be for them.
Yeah, I'll say Cozart. Cozart is a dude that I know that I mean, fans clearly I've seen his name popping up in a few chats. People asking me like, and people are like on the message boards asking, "Hey, it's Cozart land, Cozart land, Cozart land." And maybe by the time we get by the time this episode comes out, there's more concrete answers on that. But what I can tell you right now is that the staff really, really wants Cozart, and it's just going to kind of come down to where he gets slotted at. But I think things are, you know, trending in a positive direction towards that. But this is a dude, like, top 50 recruit, like, tech. Yep. If you go down the list of top 50 recruits, let me see if I have it right here. These are the best recruits that Texas landed: CJ Hinojosa, Samuel Richardson, Will Gasparino. Those are our three top 50 recruits that have made it to campus as a Texas Longhorn. Now, ironically, Samuel Richardson and Will Gasparino both just left the roster. But Cozart, this will be the first – if Texas gets him to campus, this will be the first top 50 pitcher ranked from Perfect Game since 2010, since they started doing rankings. And I think that, you know, it would be obvious that the reason why that happens is because of Max Wiener. Having a coach like a Max Wiener is honestly, it is such a massive weapon that I don't think can be, you know, stated enough. You know, we talked about in the previous time episodes about, hey, you know, A&M, as soon as he takes over A&M, their pitching staff, you know, they turn into a top 10 staff in the nation. Texas, top 10 staff in the nation. And you got a lot of guys coming back, a lot of core guys, you know. Now Cozart, you're able to pitch to a guy like that, like saying, hey, you're not going to have to be forced into a role too early. You know, you're not going to have to be forced to do anything. You can develop and grow, you know, naturally. And if you're pitching good, you seen Volantis go, you know, we're going to keep going. So it's one of those deals where I think that we're in a pretty good spot, having, you know, a guy like Max Wiener to be able to land a guy like a Cozart. But if we do, I mean, this would be a massive pitcher to land.
And no hyperbole there. For those who don't know, Sam Cozart is listed at 6'8", 252 on their website. He keeps growing every year. His fastball keeps growing up to 94. And when you're that tall, 94 is far, far, far from the peak for you. He's going to be throwing harder than that if he comes. And like you said, I do think with the current Texas, the way that the current Texas team is looking as we lost Nash on the stream, he is the kind of guy that is a perfect build. Hey, you want to come and grab your spot on this roster because Max Wiener is here. This is the arm farm. This is a guy who has worked in the MLB, has the ability to get you to that spot because of how good you are as a pitcher. So a 6'8", 252 kid who is a top 50 recruit, it's already past the seventh round. He hasn't been drafted. Maybe it's because he's been telling teams, I'm likely coming to campus. But that's a really good sign for Texas is now because Cozart is the kind of player that can give you some early season outings, maybe get you a Tuesday start here or there. This freshman pitching group is elite, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I do want to bring up Anthony Pack Jr., because he's someone I put in a lot of my articles as a person that could potentially make an impact this year as the first outfielder off the bench for this Texas team. Now, that would be a big ask for him to get here because Pack seems like the kind of guy that, from what we've heard, maybe would just want to go to the MLB. But there is a shot that this is the backup center fielder to Jonah Williams or Aiden Robbins, whoever is playing out there. And if he would make it, you know, this is a top 40 recruit. He's number 32, number 5 overall outfield. Super elite speed and hit tool kind of guy. The kind of person that really you want to have on your bench first guy off. It just Duplante on steroids and younger idea with Pack. It's kind of interesting that he's not going to have been taken yet because that kind of player, a fast center fielder, is what teams want in this range. It's just, let's get you the MLB. Let's have you be an average center fielder out there. Play good defense. Get us some hits down the order. That's what we want. So why do you think Pack hasn't been taken yet? Because he seemed like a kind of person that top 200 picks, he'd be right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if I can, you know, answer that really that well. What I can say is that, I mean, Anthony Pack, this is a dude that it depends on if Jonah Williams is, you know, coming to camp. Because if Jonah Williams is here in the spring, you know, hey, you're probably going to be pushing for a backup, not backup role, but you're probably going to be a backup role. Beautiful. And, you know, you'll have to push for, you'll have to fight for some innings, right, to get on the field. If there's an injury, you'll probably be the first in line or something like that. And that may not be attractive to a guy like an Anthony Pack. I mean, this is a dude that he would literally be taught. Like, so what we just said about Cozart, I mean, CJ Hinojosa ranked at 32 overall. That's the best player that Texas have ever gotten to campus. So Anthony Pack coming to campus like that would be a massive get for Texas. And this is also another thing kind of going against Texas in this scenario. Like, you look at – he's a David Pierce recruit. So mm-hmm. The guys, you know, Caleb Longley and David Pierce, like that coaching staff, those are the guys that he recruited to. So, you know, and not just – I mean, obviously, you can look at Schlossnagel, and there's a lot that you can sell for Jim Schlossnagel, but I think that from what I'm hearing, it does kind of sound like Pack might be leaning away from coming to campus. But we'll have to see because, I mean, if he keeps on falling, maybe something changes here.
Yes, and that note about some of these guys being Pierce guys is true. This is sort of the last era of players that are coming into this Texas team that had a connection with Coach Pierce. So there may be some of that to deal with Schlossnagel and his staff. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Laura Baker, before we get into a few more of these freshmen and the Texas outlook long term.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
Nash, I cover three teams for Inside Texas right now. And, you know, football recruiting, as much as it can send people crazy, at least when these players sign, they're coming to campus for sure. And even with basketball, with the one-and-dones and Trey Johnson, you got your year of Trey Johnson there, and maybe Daylon Swain that is next year. But with baseball, one of the worst parts is, oh, you land a top 50 recruit. This guy's not even going to come play for your team. So some of the most important ones are the guys like Rodriguez and Volantis, who weren't as highly touted draft-wise. Let's talk about Brett Crossland, Nash, because he's a guy who was a top 100 prospect on MLB.com's draft board. I believe, I'm going to pull it up right now, he was number 96, and he's still not off the board. We are on pick 213 as I'm talking right now. Number 11 right-handed pitcher in the nation, two-way guy, plays first and third as well in high school, going to be a pitcher when he comes here, 6'5", 240, when, if he comes here, 97-mile-per-hour velo. How are teams not jumping on this guy immediately? What's the scout on him right now with what he could be for this Texas team and where he is in this draft cycle?
I mean, teams not – at this point, like a guy like a – like when you start getting to guys like Crossland and this is even starting like you kind of mentioned for Cozart, like this is just, and we don't for sure know on Cozart, so like, but this is where it's like it's just really good to see his name not come off the board yet, right? And yeah, they can overslot guys right later on, you know, and pay dudes later. That is kind of one of the, you know, little sleazy parts of the baseball draft.
Yep.
Kind of never almost really know. Yeah, you never know, right? But yeah. it does feel like a guy like a Crossland. Crossland, I'd say it would probably be – it would take a lot for him to not end up on campus right now, you know, for him to not be on the fall roster. And getting a guy like that is just massive. Like, this is – we talk about massive pitch. They're getting massive. They're getting big, big guys, right, with big power arms. And, like, these are dudes that can come in and have SEC stuff. So,
yep.
This is, you know, I mean, this is some really, really exciting stuff to see. But, you know, having, you know, him not be coming off the board and then, like, a Cozart not coming off the board, man, it's got to make us feel fantastic about our chances of landing. I would say Crossland, I would feel, if you're a Texas fan, I'd feel very, very, very confident that he's going to be on the fall roster.
I think Crossland and Cozart not having been picked at this point, 12:30 has just hit the clock for us, is one of the best developments you've seen from this offseason. And Texas did have, you know, that announcement with Riojas, Scrubs, Harrison all coming back, but those were expected. But the high school guys, it's a question mark most of the time. You don't know what agents are telling them. You don't know what family wants. You don't know how much they want to come to campus for some of the guys who maybe are Pierce guys. But when you're looking at these super athletes, these big pitchers, you know these are the Schwarzenegger wiener types. And 6'5 guy who in 2023, he was throwing 94. He comes to the PG showcase in 2024, hits 97 miles an hour on his fastball. So he's progressing more. His high school stats are dominant. Crossland's are. This is someone he, alongside Cozart, are the kind of players that when we're doing these graphics on these shows, we aren't putting freshmen on there yet, but they are sure to be a part of this rotation next year in some form or fashion, whether that's starting or whether that's, hey, we're going to need a sixth inning guy at some point. Can you develop like that into that player as a freshman? And it's just fun to see these freshmen ball out. Let's talk about one more guy, and I'm going to give you the choice. You've got Robert X. Mitchell, the big lefty. You got Cooper Rummel, top guy in the state of Texas. And you've got Grayson Bowles, who seems to be a little underrated by Perfect Game because he's got a lot of draft hype as of now. Which one do you want to talk about? Because I think that's maybe enough time we have for these freshmen.
I'll go Cooper Rummel. Rummel, just a lot very similar to Brett Crossland. You know, big guy, maybe not as much power behind the fastball. But, I mean, this is you're talking about a freshman that's coming in throwing 95 miles an hour. Like, this is – Mm-hmm. You know, I hate that we live in a world where just saying a guy throws 95 seems like just normal.
It's not enough.
Right? No, that's not normal. Right. Just because you got just because there's a few dudes, which one of them is on the roster, that, you know, play in the league that can throw 100, you know, yeah, that's all special and all, but it's no, throwing 95 is not normal. Still not normal.
Yeah.
Right. And it's still incredibly hard. Like it's still really hard. It's not like just because Thomas Burns shows up on the roster, now everybody can start. Now we're all, you know, we're touching 100, right? And we're 95 looks like a changeup coming in now, you know? So
yep.
these are all really, really hard pitches to hit. And you're at the, like, you're literally at the edge of human capability, you know, swinging a bat against a 95 mile an hour fastball.
Milliseconds. So,
it's just, and then this is like, this one of those deals, and I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I know if his fastball has a run, you know, flat or anything like that. But that's where you know, and then this is also where you got, you know, coming into play for a Max Wiener, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Max Wiener, if you do have a flat fastball that guys are touching, you know, they're just touching up. Now Max Wiener, maybe he can add a little bit more run to it. Maybe he can, you know, maybe he can get your fastball to. Maybe if you got a flat, because sometimes having a flat fastball is not bad. Because if your fastball is flat enough, that thing looks like it's rising to batters at the plate because we're so used to balls dropping. So, Cooper Rummel, I mean, 6'3", 220 pounds, not like, again, big guy, right?
Big guy
with a big arm. I mean, this is just, you're going to see a very common theme coming in to pitch for Max Wiener. Big guy, big arms, and like these guys are, again, sound like a broken record, but, you know, legit chance that I would say probably him less than Crossland and a Cozart, but still definitely a shot to make a chance to make a dent in the SEC.
Yeah, and the first words on his profile on Perfect Game are XL, just extra large. 95 with more to come is what you're seeing on all of these guys' profiles. From Dripping Springs, Texas, too, that might have an impact on him wanting to stay very close to home. A pretty quick drive for him to get to the stadium. Let's talk about this roster long-term, and by long-term, really, this 2026 season, because there's really not many guys outside of maybe Marinek, the transfer, Freeman, the transfer. Either way, they don't have a ton of leverage as picks, and they haven't been picked yet. Maybe Grayson Saunier would take his chance given the amount of arms that are coming in. Those are really the only three that we're talking about with a chance to become MLB draft picks and leave this team, but right now, you're feeling pretty good of a good few freshman arms coming in, and there's a lot in this class. There's not a lot of hitters in this class for Texas, which is something that you would have wanted from Fien, Cunningham, or Pack. Right now, it'd be two outfielders and a catcher would be the entire hitter version of that class. So offensively, do you think that they're going to still look a little bit in the portal, which is still open? There's still some really good players left. Maybe for that backup outfielder, because you're probably not going to get Pack and Ballou is gone. Do you think that's going to be the case for this Longhorn team?
It definitely could be a situation like that, but like this would have to. It's not going to be some guy like that, some super flashy portal grab or anything like that. This is going to be a guy that, you know, for the most case, like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but most fans are probably going to yawn at, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's probably not, like, doesn't really move the needle that much, but it's just one of those guys that. If let's say like a worst case scenario, Jack Marinek gets a great draft, you know, number, and Texas mm-hmm. can't bring him in. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, now that portal grab is looks a little better now, right? Or Caleb Freeman, right? So like these are some of the guys that Texas still has to sweat the rest of the draft for. But the longer that you see guys like Jack Marinek and Caleb Freeman not go on the board, I mean, that's great for Texas. And then that's where, you know, maybe adding another portal grab maybe isn't as needed. I mean, Maddox Monster, that dude is a like legit beast. Like, yeah. I think like that's a dude that you could look up in 3 years and be like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, this is a top two round pick guy. Mm-hmm. William Hill, like that. He's another guy that really big bat. I think probably Maddox Monster is probably more, you know, ready day one as opposed to a guy like a Hill. But man, like just looking at this, you just have to think, man, if we don't go out there and get a portal grab, And even if we do, like Jonah Williams, we've talked about a couple times, like Jonah Williams coming into like this offseason, it kind of felt like on the outside end that he was going to be on this Texas roster. And then now you're sitting here looking at it, and like you've mentioned a million times, like sitting here, he's going to, if Texas is playing for what they want to play for, he's going to be playing football into late January. And
yep.
Then he's going to have to turn around and go on the baseball roster. But like it looks like that's what's going to be happening. And that's just such a wild like thought that this is happening in the modern, like, because it's, I understand, like, yeah, like the Bo Jackson comparisons and all that, that's all fun and all, right? But it's honestly kind of one of the things that made Travis Hunter so special, right? Because it's like, yeah, Charles Woodson and Champ Bailey and all them, yeah, they did that stuff, but that was a long time ago, man. Like, that's 20 years
ago. And it was 15 different snaps, era. Not 40.
Yeah, different. Yeah, it's like, that's just peeling, the, like, one layer of the onion back into the Travis Hunter conversation. But, it's not – this isn't the days of Tommy Novas playing linebacker and offensive line anymore, right? Like, this is – dudes don't play multiple positions. They don't play two sports. They train in one thing, and they get good at one thing, right? And then they go to the draft. And for, like, a modern day, like, a guy like Jonah Williams to, you know, look like he's potentially going to be playing on both football and baseball and as a starter, man, wow. That's some fun stuff.
What I will say for Schlossnagel's case, this may feel like kind of the last year for Williams, because he won't be starting on the football team this year, more than likely. He's going to be in a rotation, but the biggest games of the year, like the college football playoff, is he going to play more than 10 snaps? Who knows? Maybe he's just the best safety on the field at certain points and you can't take him off. But he is going to be a starting safety as soon as next year, and that's when it's going to be really hard to keep him playing baseball, because what if he's just the best safety in the SEC suddenly? And that's a lot of money right there, even with how the slot value's looking in baseball. So there's not a ton of hitters coming onto this team. One little last note we can talk about is the pitching staff, because we've talked about how good it looks going into this year, how good it was last year. When you get to talk a little bit more about these freshmen, and, you know, we've been aware of these guys the whole time, but haven't been talking about them as much on the show, it just more and more makes you excited for just how high the ceiling of this group is. I mean, the ceiling is number one in everything for pitching right now, because not only do you have a potential top 50 arm coming to campus and another five guys who are in that 50 to 250 tier who, if they're not pitching this year, it's going to be pitching next year. You've got a ton of lefties on the pitching staff, which you didn't really have coming into the offseason or in last season. So Hayden LaFeu, I think 15th on the 64 analytics top prospect list. You've got Dylan Volantis moving to the Friday role, Luke Harrison, Ruger Riojas, Max Grubbs. Like, just keep going. And there's still more depth guys who I haven't said. Just how good can this pitching staff be?
I mean, like, I've mentioned it, like, on the board, because, like, I have such high level of, like, in the world of things that are guaranteed, right? I feel like this – the two things that are the most guaranteed for the next, you know, 365 days in Texas athletics is that Texas football is going to have an amazing defense and that Texas baseball is going to have an amazing pitching staff.
Yep.
I just, like, it is hard to, you know, come and pitch me a scenario where you go and you say, okay, yeah, hey. So there's, you know, that amazing pitching coach that y'all got that, like, everybody raves about, everybody rants about, and every single time they, you know, step foot on a campus, he's immediately raised the pitching staff to like not just one or two tiers, right? He's jumped like 20 tiers of like talent. And okay, hey, yeah, you also got the probably what is the best pitcher in America going over the next two seasons in Dylan Volantis. And this is where just hang with me for a second, because you're gonna get like Dylan Volantis. We get to choose what we want to do with him.
Yeah,
like we don't have to start him. There's a world where Ruger Riojas is the Friday night guy. Luke Harrison's is the Saturday guy. Cade Bing is the Sunday guy. Now what do you do with Dylan Volantis? Closer role, right? Now you also got Max Grubbs. You got Thomas Burns. These guys are going – so Dylan Volantis, Harrison, Riojas, Bing, and Burns, those guys will be going for starting roles. Guys that could easily factor into being closing pitchers. And because this is how, like, this is how you have to, like, break down the staff, is because it's just,
yeah,
you have roles, and then you fill the guys that can go in these roles. And these guys, like, you're gonna have, like, Dylan Blantis, is his name pops up in my starting pitching depth chart and closing pitching, because he could easily be a closer. You got Max Grubbs, Blantis, yep. Burns, Higgins could be a closer. Higgins could be a great closer for Texas. And then you go and you have, like, long relief pitching, Hudson Hamilton, who Max Wiener has been loving. Cody Howard, he can come in and, you know, he can give you some long innings and get you out of some really tough stuff. Like, if you're just in a bad game, right, and you don't want to have to use any really arms that are high priority for you, you can go out there and you can trust Cody Howard to keep the game at what it is.
Yep.
And, you know, and if the offense comes back, hey, we're going to fire up a Thomas Burns, right? Ethan Walker, Jason Flores, right? These are guys that all can go really long innings. Luke Dotson, Hayden LaFeu. Hayden LaFeu is a guy that can really, really, like, he's going to miss some stuff. And that's part of the reason why you saw, like, part of the reason why he's here is because of Carson Tenney. Like, having a guy like Carson Tenney, if y'all saw go on Twitter and type in Carson Tenney, you're going to see the block that he just had yesterday. Ridiculous stuff from him.
Great.
But then
athlete.
You go and you add in like a Sam Cozart, Robert Mitchell, McKernan, Crossland, Rommel, West. You just go down the list. Like, this is going to be incredibly talented. Like, the pitching staff is going to be so talented, and it's going to be really, really competitive for these freshmen to make this roster.
That's important.
So any freshmen that you see are on the roster this next year are legit SEC dudes. Like, this is not just some roster that, like, specifically talking about the pitching staff, this is not just some, you know, shrug of the shoulder roster. Like, this is a legitimate thing that's going to be, you know, top level of the SEC, in my opinion.
Yeah, and competitive is the term to use, because that's just what's been set up. There's how many players feel like they have a solid spot. Can you say Dylan Volantis has a solid spot in this team? I wouldn't say so. Like you said, closer / starting pitcher.
I'd say he has it. He has a spot, but it's just, you just don't know what the role is.
We don't know which one it is, though. So maybe Luke Harrison's the Saturday guy. Max Grubbs is going to be a high important reliever. That's about it when it comes to what we know for sure. So that's just going to be a lot of fun when we get into this fall ball, into the winter, and then, of course, starting the season. That's going to do it for us today. Of course, I forgot to do this at the start, but now is the best time for all of you to be signing up for Inside Texas, which gives you football. We're now getting into this kind of July, into the summer workouts. We're only a month away from that Ohio State game, which it's $1 until then, 8/30 on August 30th. You cannot subscribe to Inside Texas for $1, but you can right now, and that's what's important. Go over. It's the best spot for all Texas Longhorn news and really just college sports news. You get so much from that little subscription for just $1. And, of course, our very own Paul Wildlington has released his college football encyclopedia, the Almanac, the 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thinking Texas Football. It's got everything you need, from Texas Longhorn to SEC to recruiting and the current dynamics of football right now in NCAA. It's just the best book you can find for college football. You can find that link in the description of this video to go get it. Nash, thank you so much for this awesome draft day. And just in general, this baseball offseason has been a lot of fun doing this. We're going to sign out for today. Thank you, Nash, as always. Thank you all for listening. I've been Evan Beath. We'll see you.